Hello and welcome to the Fairy Whispering Podcast. I'm your host, Claire Silverwand. I'm releasing this new episode for Beltane, which is celebrated on May 1st. Beltane is a time of joy, merriment, and honouring the natural world in all its splendour. The festival celebrates the beginning of summer and is deeply rooted in Celtic traditions. It's a time when the veil between our world and the fairy realm is believed to be at its thinnest, allowing for increased interactions with the fairies. It's a time when fairies are believed to move from their winter residences to summer ones, and encounters with them are considered more likely. To protect against any mischief from the fairies, certain precautions were taken, such as hanging green boughs, or engaging in rituals designed to appease these magical beings. The festival is associated with fire, fertility, and the celebration of life. Bonfires are lit to purify and protect, reflecting the return of light and warmth as summer begins. The custom is to dance around and jump over these fires. Long ago, cattle were driven between them for protection and good health. It is a tradition in Devon for boys and girls to dress in white and dance around the maypole. In Lustley, there is a May Queen stone where the May Queen is chosen and crowned. Gathering morning dew is a charm for beauty and health. It's a time for celebrating the earth's bounty and the potential for new life in the coming season. To celebrate Beltane, and to incorporate the fairies, you can create a small altar with fresh flowers, crystals, and a fairy figurine and a candle. Also spend time outdoors appreciating the blooming life all around you. In this enchanting episode of the podcast, I sit down with my wonderfully insightful guest, Laura. She takes us through a personal journey about her reconnection with the natural world and the fairies. It seems that Laura's life has been a dance with the unseen. We talk about her transformative experiences. She shares a really captivating experience of a photograph that revealed the presence of little beings peering out from the mossy foliage. We also discuss the importance of honouring the land, which is a common theme for this podcast and in my work, and also the sadness of the encroaching development. We also talk about the gifts that invite the fairies into our gardens. Laura works as a healer, and she hosts retreats and women's circles out on the land. She reminds us of the importance of honouring the seasons and living in harmony with the earth's energies. And this is an ethos definitely echoed by the fairy folk themselves. Join us as we wander through Laura's tales and insights. These episodes are not suitable for young children. Remember to follow us for more tales of the Fae and support the Fairy Whispering podcast as we continue to explore the whispers of the natural world and its secrets. You can support the podcast with a donation on my Fairy Whisperer Buy Me a Coffee page or with a subscription via my podcast Buzzsprout page. And follow us on social media for more fairy encounters and nature musings. You're listening to the Fairy Whispering Podcast. Episode 43, Moss Folk. Enjoy, and I will come back to you at the end with some folklore about the Moss Folk, some more information about moss, and some fae encounters from the fairy census. The Fairy Whispering Podcast explores guests' encounters with the other world of fairy and ways of connecting with this realm. From listening to messages in owls' hoots, finding a four-leaf clover, chasing rainbows, or inviting a gnome to dinner. I'm Claire Sylvan-Wand, a fairy whisperer, researcher, and your guide on this journey. Take my hand and step into the twilight woodland, where they are waiting to meet you.
Showed some people the photo, which I'll show you in a minute,
yeah,
of these little beings. There were some people that, you know, they really took the piss, and the majority of people were like, oh wow, you know, but felt, you know, I did feel a little bit on my own with it, because I was very careful about who I showed it to,
yeah.
So, you know, it's really reassuring to hear, and I see people's faces sometimes when I say, you know, when I talk about fairies, and I perhaps don't talk as openly about my beliefs around that as I do other subjects.
Mm.
Some people aren't ready to hear about it.
So where did your journey start?
I had a bit of a crazy time, really.
Mm.
And my life was very, very different to how it is now, but I mean, sort of similar to you, I always knew there was something else. I felt like there was just something that I was missing that nobody was telling me about.
Yeah.
And I did have quite a few experiences as a child, but it just gets put down to imagination, I think. I didn't think too much of it. And then when I got to about 16, I had some difficult things happen in my childhood. And when I got to 16, I got into drugs.
Mm.
So I think I just then got caught up in that world, really, for quite a long time, until sort of early 30s. I remember I was stood outside the place I was working, and I was just stood outside leaning against the wall smoking a cigarette, and it just seemed clear as day, there's something else, you know, like there's got to be something else apart from this. This can't be it. And that was the turning point, was just that one moment.
Wow.
And I came across a leaflet for a guy who was giving a talk in Totnes a couple of weeks later. And I thought, I'm going to go to that. Even though it was completely out of my, you know, normal day-to-day, I went to this talk, and the guy walked into the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see him lit up. Like, he was just glowing, and it looked like he was floating. He's called Paul Lowe, an English guy called Paul Lowe. And It just went from there. He did a group workshop in California, and I went.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that was just absolutely, anytime I went near him, my body just went into complete spasms, and I was like unable, and he would just reassure me, it's just energy. You will learn to navigate that. But I was feeling it. I was so sensitive. And I think, looking back, I think part of the reason I got into drugs was because I was so sensitive to things.
Yeah.
It was almost just trying to cope with the world, being a sensitive woman. And while I was there, I had a treatment from a healer. I had lots of visions, memories of stuff that happened in my life. And in a split second, I thought, this is what I've come to do. I've come to do this work.
Mm-hmm.
I was 36, and it seemed absolutely ludicrous that I'd gone 36 years and not known, because it was so clear.
Mm-hmm.
I flew back to England, gave him my notice at my job, ended my relationship, and I flew to Brazil to start learning the work received on that table.
Chills.
Yeah. It was quite, I'm really grateful to myself at that time, because I could have chosen something different. I could have just carried on the path I was on, but I think things had got quite dark, and it felt like this hand reaching down to pull me out of a really dark place. It was, and it has been since. I mean, I'm not saying it's been easy, but life is interesting and colourful, and a big part of that has been connecting with the fae folk.
Yes.
Which, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, for a long time I kept questioning things, or maybe I'm making it up. But there were so many other things that I was experiencing, it was sort of wrapped up. I started remembering past lives, and, you know, some of the things, well, nearly all the things were just so clear. It's like, I have to follow this, there's no other way. It just seemed really obvious, this is my path. Yeah. And in those early days, somebody hooked me up with a shaman pathfinder.
Okay.
Because I didn't have any people around me to guide me, really, and I was quite isolated with it. I didn't have a community here in Devon, and I didn't have, you know, any friends that were particularly interested in the things that I was like suddenly really interested in.
Yeah.
So I spent a day with this shaman pathfinder, and he took me up to Bellstone. Do you know Bellstone?
Yes, I've not been up there, but I know the area.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, you know, it feels really magical, doesn't it?
Mm.
And we were walking up towards the moor, and he was a little bit further on than me, and I just invested in a really lovely camera, and I was just sort of snapping shots, you know. And I felt something. I just felt this, like, oh, I need to take a photo of those trees.
Yeah.
And I just took the photo and then carried on, and we had a lovely time, went to some stone circles, and he imparted some wisdom with me, and I felt clearer on my next steps. And then it was a couple of weeks later, I think, I went up to Boots and I got some of the photos printed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just blue tacked them to the wall in my kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was just something I was doing at the time as a hobby with photography. And then I was sat there with the guy that I was dating, and at the same time we both saw these little beings in this photo.
Oh wow.
Yeah. It was just like we just both went
yeah,
oh yes, there are people in that photo. It was just, I think neither of us could believe it, and he wasn't so much into that sort of thing as me, so when he agreed with me it was really sort of confirming and reassuring that yeah, I'm not seeing things, there are actually, I show you.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. Oh my gosh.
I meant to give it a little dust off, actually.
But so exciting. Oh, look. Oh.
So, I've got the original file somewhere, but there's two here.
Oh my
gosh.
There's
one here.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I call them tree people.
This is so synchronistic, Laura, because that's amazing. I went back to a place that is a favourite, I call it, you know, one of my fairy hotspots or whatever, on Dartmoor the other day, on Sunday, and it's full of moss. It's very mossy.
Right. Yeah.
And I always see mossy people.
Yeah.
In those places, it's just like my heart, I know when I'm connected, my heart just opens, and it feels like the landscape saying hello, and then I just see all these little beings. So
does it feel like the same words?
It does. It feels, it's the same energy, like, and they're all, and what I notice with fairies time and again, I can see some faces looking at,
yes,
is they're very curious, especially if I think they're curious about you and your energy, aren't they?
I think so. And they are sort of peering out, aren't they? You know, like,
Who's that?
I mean, I just felt so grateful to them for showing themselves.
Yeah, you can see a little face up peeking out from behind the leaves. Who else is there? Oh, it's so magical.
I mean, it's a fabulous photo anyway, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
I just love it. I love the mossy and the green and the depth. But yeah, they're just
like peeking out.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
thought I'd see some faces. The more you look, the more you can see.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a wonderful photo. So, yeah. Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
Yeah. So I think that was, from that point on, you know, my interest was sparked.
Mm. Yeah.
I did spend quite a lot of time sitting in woods and just, you know, just saying I'm here and mm-hmm. I'm willing to communicate.
Mm.
And then I had a few more experiences. I can't remember really. I had so much stuff happen.
What was the... So take me back to that day when you're walking up more and your friend was taking you to this mm-hmm. place. Did you have any intention in your mind for that day? Do you remember how you were feeling? Or were you just going in a sort of a meditative state? Or
yeah, I think so. I mean, I remember he was walking really slowly and he was quite a bit ahead.
Mm.
And I just remember feeling very much like a beginner and a little bit like deer in the headlights type thing.
Yeah.
You know, he seemed so wise and so much more knowledgeable than I was. And I think the intention was to know my next steps. It was something around my path.
Yes.
Something like, where do I go now? I think I seem to remember I was floundering a little bit, feeling a bit lost.
Mm.
I'm not really sure, like I seem to have some sort of gift or
yes.
This is obviously what I'm meant to be doing, but what do I do with it and how do I channel it, as in like bring it into this realm.
And he was a shaman.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Did he have a connection with that place already?
Very much. He was, yeah. You know, it was very based. His teachings were very much about the earth.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that was sort of what there, then that was the path I took, so working with that.
So his presence and energy is almost like he's opening up a portal for you to step into in this place. And then the fairies are curious.
Yeah.
Okay, we know... Perhaps they're familiar with him.
Maybe.
Do you think?
Yeah.
You're like the newcomer.
Yeah.
To this place. Do you think that's what was going
on? Sound, yeah.
That's what I'm
picking
up. Yeah. How do you remember? So you went, took some photos. Was there anything unusual that happened the rest of that day, or
not particularly? I mean, I remember sort of sitting in contemplation quite a lot and meditation in the circles and on the land there.
Mm.
I mean, I love, you know, Dartmoor's just amazing because so much of it is, you know, it's not, it's just still really pure and doesn't feel like it's been messed around with. Like you can feel the depth of like the history and the energy. You can just really feel the energy because there's nothing there. Hasn't been interfered with.
Yes. The last few days, it's funny, I was going to go up to Bellstone at the weekend because I want to go to the Nine Maidens.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't know you were going to talk about that today.
I felt
powerfully drawn up there, but I ended up going to another place. So did anything life-changing, you were going through a change at the moment, but following that, did anything change in your life? Like, did you have...
Goodness, I mean, so much was happening at that time.
Mm.
I think the main thing I got from that day, you know, it was just it was confirmation. It was like, you're not going mad, you know, and I felt like, whereas before maybe I felt like I wasn't really worthy, or not that it's special, but just like, oh no, you are open to these things. You know, if they were willing to show themselves, if these three people were willing to show themselves to you,
mm-hmm.
you know, I sort of felt like I was getting the nod. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, carry on your path. You're doing all right.
Yeah.
Keep going. It's okay. You know, you can do this. You don't, like, it's like, it was almost like a permission slip. And I know I don't necessarily need a permission slip, but at that time, I think I almost did.
Yeah,
I needed for them to say, yeah, keep going.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Oh,
and then I've worked with the fae folk quite a lot since then. In I made some what I called them sacred bathing ritual kits.
Oh.
So they were a journey for people to do a ritual on their own at home, and one of the scents was Queen of the Fae. So I connected in with her, and she told me, you know, what things to use and what to put in it, and the colours that I had to use and the symbols. Yeah. And I did a series of six.
Amazing. Do you still have those?
I do. I have. I've got some of the other ones, but I haven't got a Queen of the Fae. I haven't got a Queen of the Fae one. But it's something that I've sort of sidelined for a minute, and yes. I will go back to it. Yeah,
amazing. You could. I'm just thinking, maybe you could create a little booklet, as well as making them yourself.
It did have a booklet in it.
Yeah.
And I made a kit as well for a little girl once, where she could connect in with the fae folk, like a little ritual for children.
Oh, that's amazing.
And then I got asked to do some land clearing at Ballabrook. Do you know Ballabrook, the retreat centre at South Brent?
Yes, yeah.
And the trust asked me to come down and do some land clearing because they were new trustees. The whole centre had been renovated. And, of course, it's Dartmoor, so it's self-clearing. You know, there wasn't really much for me to do. The fae folk did... They had been watching on to see the things that had been happening and... you know, so we left them some gifts and thanked them and just connected them, like, and just acknowledged that actually this is their home, this is where they live.
Yeah. So
yeah.
I didn't realise you did land clearing. That sounds amazing. Yeah. And what would you recommend as gifts?
Well, we did one of the girls had made brownies, so we put some brownies, and then we all wrote little notes to them, like, you know, honouring that it's their land, acknowledging that we were aware that they were there watching on, and, you know, that sort of thing. But I think you're right. Anything that is of the land is really good, and that doesn't leave any residue or anything like that. And things that are really simple. So maybe things like made out of twigs or leaves or, you know, any.
Do you remember any of your experiences as a child? Or is there anything that for you with fairies?
It was just mostly that I loved being in the woods. And still now it's my favourite place. It's where I feel happiest.
Yes.
And I mean, you know, it's a word that's overused, but just that sense of it being magical, something being magical. Mm-hmm. Like, I can feel the energetic of it. It's hard to find the words for it. But and then I remember at some point sort of disregarding it as childish or just my imagination. I did have an imaginary friend that my mum, you know, she still mentions him often, so... You know, he had a place at the table, and he was called Baldy. And I work with Palladian energies a lot now, and I think, looking back, I think probably it was one of my Palladian team.
Is that because he was bald?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. So I think probably it was a guide, or, you know...
Could you see him in your...
I can't remember.
Eye, or
no,
just
yeah, I can't remember.
Sense.
But now I sense. So, you know, now it's very much about sense. Apart from when they show up in a photograph, of course. When I first started, I had a lot more visions, and I think I needed that for my... I think I needed that confirmation, and that my ego needed to actually have things that felt a bit more tangible.
Yeah.
And then as time's moved on, it's much more about sensing.
Do you think it goes in peaks? From my experience, it kind of goes in peaks and troughs, where you have a lot of information coming through, maybe at the beginning, and then it goes a bit quiet, and you think, oh, what was all that about?
Yeah.
And then someone might give you something, or it's a reminder, or you might have another experience, and it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Because I have, you know, there have been times when I've like, oh no, I'm not sure, you know, maybe I've lost my ability to sense or feel or connect in with things, but it does come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have you heard any messages from the Fae? Or is there anything intuitively that you've either got from that experience or any other time that you feel that they're trying to communicate?
I mean, it's about honouring the land. You know, like, I can just feel that here in my heart. I think there is some sadness that we're not honouring the land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think part of that's mine, but also I think that they feel it.
Yes. Yeah.
It's quite hard. I find it quite hard driving past all the building sites at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, I almost have to shut down from it a little bit because I think I could sob for years.
Mm-hmm.
And probably shout at some of the building people, which obviously wouldn't be appropriate, and they're earning a living and doing their thing, and, you know, but yeah, it feels like quite a lot. And I think part of that is that there are less places for the fae folk to be, and the, you know, the animals and the wildlife, and
yes, I'm seeing that in wildlife as well, and the landscape has changed radically. The green spaces are being pushed back further and further, aren't they? And there are these old stories, or, you know, from the 19th century folklore about fairies and pixies saying, oh, well, they're going to the edges, and I'm thinking, I'm not surprised, because the, you know, apart from gardens, they still come into our gardens, don't they?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I've spoken to people that have gardens and fairies in their garden. So gardens are sanctuaries for our wildlife and for them, aren't they, as well?
What do you think, like, for somebody that would like to encourage the fae folk into their garden, what sort of things do you think they like to have there?
They like to have, there's lots of different fairy plants you can have, like lavender.
Right.
They love roses.
Right.
Rosemary. They have daisies.
Okay.
All the herbs, like the herby flowering plants, mint.
Right. Yeah.
I think marigolds, foxgloves.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
So you've got a little... Do you grow herbs in that?
I do, yeah. And I've got a big herb thing out the back as well on the road.
And trees. Is that a little willow? It's got like...
No, it's not. It's a magnolia.
Oh, a magnolia. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because this used to be a... These houses are built where there used to be a garden centre, so some of the plants are still remaining. So we've got quite, like, with my neighbours, there's, you know, there's quite a myriad of different plants and things. I can't take credit for planting them, they were already here.
Yeah, okay. I mean, they like shiny things, crystals.
Right.
They absolutely love crystals. And we've got crystals in here, so I expect they'd be attracted to this space. Anything with flowing water, so like little fountains, figurines.
Right. I'm going to go and get all the things I haven't got. I'm going to go and get them.
Yeah.
And say, you're welcome. Please come.
Yeah. And it's just having that, I mean, even if it's just a pot, that you say, well, this is my fairy altar or fairy garden.
What children would like that as well?
How old are your kids?
8. Yeah.
They'd love that.
Yeah, they would.
You could, you know, just have like a little fairy house that they could make, or just buy something from the craft shop and paint it up or whatever.
Yeah.
That could be
my inner child would like that as well, I think.
That square thing.
Yeah.
That you've got there. I don't know. That would be nice as a little.
It would. I mean, I put in the summer, I put vegetables in there, but.
Yeah, something like that.
I think there's room to do, you know, there's room to have something else, isn't there? Mm. Wow. I mean, it just, you know, it's just open, talking to you is opening my curiosity again. Mm. And
there's loads of, you know, people. I've spoken to a couple of people that have had childhood friends.
Mm. Mm. I mean, amazing that they're willing to come into that, you know, into the world of humans. And I think as children, well, I know that I was much more sensitive because I hadn't yet put all the barriers and blocks and protection in place. So,
yeah,
energetically, I think I was, you know, very open. And then when I started the healing journey, it was all about taking down those protections. Mm. And I think that's why then I started picking up on all these other things that were happening. Things that were always there, just couldn't see them.
Yes. Yeah, amazing.
Mm.
And where do you see your work going forward?
It's quite clear. Words?
Yeah.
I mean, I think obviously sort of my day to day, I see people one on one with the healing.
Mm.
I mean, I can't think of any specific experiences, but I'm sure, I know that people have seen fairies have come, because beings often come when people are on the table.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing a retreat at
we do
one a year. This year I'm doing two though, and I'm thinking I would like to do something with the fairies while we're there.
Yes.
They've just uncovered a stone circle on their land there.
Have they?
yeah they've sort of swept back all the bracken, and there's an old stone circle there. I mean, you can just feel, you can feel the fairy presence there.
Mm.
You know, it's just, you walk in and it's just really, really apparent. Mm. So I think that is possibly, like, you coming here today is planting the seed for maybe for that retreat. I don't know about after that, but I know that then definitely this is the path that I'm taking, you know, with the healing and the retreats. Mm. And I've just, a couple of years ago, I started training people, tuning into the subtle energies and emotional release work. So,
that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
What sort of work is that? Is it like groups or one to one?
Both. We just did a retreat or a workshop day on Sunday. So, there were three of us practitioners and we had 12 guests.
Mm.
We did emotional release work in the morning, and then we did integration and frequency work in the afternoon. We had a lovely, lovely lunch together. Yeah, and the retreats, you know, it's similar. We use a lot of sound, so we do drumming and lots of toning, hands-on body work, which is, you know, really powerful and beautiful and really needed at the moment.
It is. It's so needed. Yeah.
I mean, I need it, and I, you know, I have people hold space for me so that I can, I can release all the things that I struggle to do so on my own. Having somebody hold space is really powerful, and just, you know, just with a hand while you experience whatever's coming up. But it's really beautiful work, and it seems that what I see is that as people journey inward and really sort of anchor themselves onto the earth plane, like really welcoming in all parts of themselves, allowing those, you know, like the armouring and the barriers and the blockages to break down or reintegrate into the system, people start waking up to these other energies that are around us all the time, and the fae folk are part of that, you know. It's like there's so much more than this very narrow bandwidth that we're taught, you know. I think we come with this very wide bandwidth of being able to navigate different frequencies, and it just gets narrower and narrower and narrower. Worlds can, unless we do the work, our worlds become smaller and smaller.
It does, and that's intentional.
Yes.
I think so. There's, you know, our, like you say, the consensus reality, And then, I mean, I remember, not so millions of people around the world will know, but going to the schooling system, that I was very open, very free, and being, you know, a bit different, I suppose. Going to school, very creative, and going to school, it's like, it was a shock to my system. And it gradually does, it shuts you down, and that's what I'm talking about, that having to shut myself to survive in that reality, and then gradually opening up again. Just take years, can't you?
It can, yeah.
Yeah, and going, you know, there's, it's not what's on the TV, that's not reality, that's, you know. It's this.
Yeah. Sitting and talking, isn't it? And face to face and I mean, I don't watch much telly, but occasionally if it's on and it's just like, wow, like every single person on that screen is acting. And none of it seems authentic or true.
No.
It'd be amazing for everybody to have the intention to come back to simplicity, I think.
Yes. Yeah. That's what we need. That's how we used to live. I think that's, I feel the same. That's what the Fae are reminding us of.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
The way that they present themselves and, you know, reminding us of that simpler time. Before the Industrial Revolution, everything started to, just become very, you know, the land's being dug up, people moving away from the villages because there wasn't any work, more of that.
Yeah.
That's, that we're still on that trajectory at the moment.
Yeah.
But luckily, like you say, more of us are waking up.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be like this.
Yeah. Because it feels over, you know, it can feel overwhelming. I mean, for me, it just all feels a little bit, the plastic and the lights and the, you know, the, it just gets too much. And I think that's why this, like, little shed for me is so important.
It's lovely.
Quiet. And
it's a lovely space you've got here, Laura.
Thank you.
So, is there anything else you want to share?
I don't think so. The only thing that I thought then when you were talking was about, like, I think it seems important that we honour the seasons as well. Like, that seems to be something that's connected with the Fae folk. And, you know, like resting this time of year or doing more on sunny days and less on the days that are a bit darker and just really tuning into earth energies and so there's that harmonious living.
I'm very much very much agree with that, you know, to resist the call that tends to be out there this time of year to jump back on the treadmill, to go inward and just think, right, what does my body want at the moment, purposely slow down rather than speed up again.
The world would be a different place, wouldn't it, if we all just took a moment to breathe.
Definitely. Where can people connect with you and find out about you? Have you got a website?
I have. Yeah.
The light just came on.
It's a magic light.
Is he a fairy?
Probably is.
Really?
Sometimes you can see, can't you? Do you see? Like, I see where... Sometimes when I see people out in the street and I'm like, oh, you've got a bit of elfin in you.
Yeah.
Or, you know, oh, you've got some fairy in you. You know, you can You can see it in people.
Yeah, I can see it in you, actually.
Yeah.
That about you.
I think I have. Yeah, somebody has said that before. Yeah. I do feel that. I think I'm a bit of a hodgepodge.
We all are.
Yeah, so my website is Laura Osland, OSELAND.co.uk.
Mm-hmm.
I do women's circles and retreats and trainings and one-to-one sessions.
Ooh, fantastic.
Yeah, it's really, really wonderful. We do, one of the girls in the group who trained with me last year, she's got some land near Ottery St Mary. So we do circles there, not this time of year because it gets really wet. But yeah, it's nice to be able to do some outside on a bit of private land.
Yes.
It's quite magical there.
I'd be interested in coming to workshop or...
Great. I'd love to see it.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming. This is an extract from a letter written by my auntie Wynne. She's actually my dad's auntie, and she grew up in Princetown with my grandmother and brother and sisters. And she wrote in a letter about some of her experiences of growing up in Princetown on Dartmoor. And she writes about gathering moss from the moorland to help the soldiers during the First World War. In the early days of the First World War, we would take a sack and go onto the moor and we would pick sphagnum moss, which was dried and eventually made up into dressing packs for use on the wounded soldiers. We also would knit socks in the evening. On Sunday, we went to Sunday school morning and afternoon and would then go for a walk, usually around the triangle, which was from Princetown to Rundlestone, then Rundlestone to Two Bridges, and Two Bridges back home to Princetown in time for tea. After tea, we either went to church or a walk with our parents to visit friends who lived at a little house on the moor known as Stan Lake. During the summer school holidays, we usually went away to Wiltshire, my mother's home, but if for any reason we didn't go away, we would go on the moors picking whortleberries. We used to go out to Holman Beam, as we had to be around the boundary wall before the prisoners came out at 8:20 a.m. and we were not allowed to come back until the cease labour bell at 4:20 p.m. We had a long day out, but we usually managed to fill our buckets with erts, that's the Dartmoor word for whortleberries, and were always ready for a good meal when we arrived home. A note relating to sphagnum moss. It is scientifically known as Sphagnum platyphyllum. It's a type of moss that plays an important role in the formation of peat bogs and wetland ecosystems. Moss is able to clean the air, acting as a natural filter. Places that have lots of moss growing are a sign of good air quality. So maybe these pure areas in nature where the moss grows and plant life is abundant is very attractive to the fairies and the otherworldly beings, because of the quality of the environment there. Certainly places on Dartmoor that are very pure and have a lot of verdant plant life away from busy roads and pollution are some of the most restful and peaceful and relaxing places to be in, where the air is extremely clear and where people have had many fairy encounters. I see from the fairy census that woodlands have one of the highest amount of fairy encounters in regards to landscape where fairies are seen. This is some folklore about the moss folk
also known as the Wood Wives. The Moss Folk, also known as Moose Lute or Wild Lute, Forest Folk or Wood Folk or Wood Wives, are fairies who are the tree's guardian spirits. Their folklore comes from the forests of Germany, but it can also be found in the folklore of the neighbouring central European countries of Poland and the Czech Republic. Most moss folk are female and are referred to as wood wives. They weave moss to dress the roots of the maple trees. The moss people are typically short in stature and appear elderly, but this does not imply frailty. Rather, it gives an image of aged wisdom. Moss covers their faces. Their hair is like grey lichen hanging from their heads, and their limbs are like knotted maple bark. They are generally helpful to humans if their forests are respected. Befriending a moss woman may result in her sharing secrets of the forest, such as which plants to use for healing. However, if one of the saplings is carelessly crushed underfoot, they will chase the offender out of the forest. This is an excerpt of a poem about moss people from A Fairy Family by Archibald MacLaren, 1874. A moss woman the haymakers cry, and over the fields in terror they fly. She is loosely clad from neck to foot in a mantle of moss from the maple's root. And like the lichen grey on its stem that grows, is the hair that over her mantle flows. There are a couple of fairy sightings that I found in Simon Young's Fairy Census that I felt were worth quoting because I felt they relate in some way to Laura's experience. Something I noted in the census was there are quite a few mentions of witnesses describing the fairies' colourings as mossy greens, or as having moss-like hair or moss-like beards. This sighting from the 2000s from France struck me as being very similar to the description of the moss wives. The sighting happened when the female who reported it was aged between 11 and 20, and it happened between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. in woodland and along riverbanks. And the overall feeling was that she was intruding, and there was a feeling of anger from the fairies that she encountered. She was walking along a dried up riverbed, and then she noticed in the forest on the riverbanks some figures shooting past between the trees, and she felt that they were encircling her, and she felt that they were hunting her in a way. She describes them as pale humanoid creatures that were slightly shorter than a human. They didn't wear clothes but seemed to have moss that grew over their bodies, covering them. So the woman, or the girl as she was, started running. And these beings kept hunting her, in her words, and throwing sticks and rocks at her. She says she didn't get to see their faces clearly. She managed to escape the place
and get back to the house that she was staying in with her parents. And the place had a mysterious aura. But she says she didn't see them again when she revisited, but she felt that the traces they left behind were the burrows that she saw, which seemed to be lived in. And that she noticed that things in the area would be moved. So they had long, delicate limbs. They were pale, almost luminescent white. And they could move at incredible speed, sometimes moving on all fours, which is interesting. And so they weren't wearing clothes, but moss covered, which seemed to be growing naturally on their bodies. And their hair was white, silver grey, darker than their bodies. So that's an interesting, it reminded me of that description of moss folk. And there's another one from the 1980s, where a young girl, when she was 4 years old, this happened. And it was in the afternoon between 12 and 3 in Woodland. And this little girl was playing in the woods. She was swinging on a vine. And then she saw a little person peek out from behind the tree, watching her playing. And it was a female. And this little girl was playing with her tea set, and the fairy asked the little girl for a silver spoon. And one of the things that she noted about the fairy's experience was that she had moss green eyes. So the little girl continued to have this connection with this fairy, which she didn't know it was a fairy at the time, because being didn't look like the typical type of fairy that she'd seen in books and films. And she kept this connection with this being. Then one day the girl was going to be moving away, and the fairy seemed to know this because she came and said goodbye to her and said, "You're not going to see me again." So it's a very touching story of this connection with this being, woodland fairy, that I found quite moving. So you can read those accounts. The first one that I read about the beings in France, that was from the 2014 to the 2017 census, and it's number 428. And the second one was from the 2017 to 2023 census, and that's number 662. That was in the USA. That one happened. Thank you for listening. Take care. I look forward to you joining me next time. Until then, remember to keep your heart open and listen to the whispers of the Fae. See you next time. Bye for now.
And then we all wrote little notes to them.